A big thing that I have found that's extremely valuable and important, and I think can help keep us grounded and keep us moving forward in our careers is taking time to reflect. And that can be however you do it. Just take some time to reflect or unplug. There's definitely long-term benefits and value to making reflection, or at least unplugging a little bit, a regular part of your life, because this is a marathon, not a sprint. And that can really help you keep moving forward in the long term.
Daniel Chalette has a really cool job as a physical therapist that I didn't even know existed. PT for the Professional Golf Association and the PGA Tour. We take a look into, well, how he got there, what his job's about, and what he learned since he got there. Dip into this. Pretty cool insight from a guy who's got a really great role that's hopefully opening back up very, very soon as I record this. Episode brought to you by Owens Recovery Science. Single source for PTs looking for certification in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training, BFR, for the cool kids in class. If you're looking to add that to your clinical practice, they have the knowledge, the certification, and the equipment you need to apply it properly in your clinical practice. Find them online at owensrecoveryscience.com.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
Welcome aboard.
This is the PT Pintcast. Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
All right, we're doing this thing right now. Thank you to everybody who was chiming in on the last few episodes we had with some representatives from the different APTA sections and academies on that PACER program. We'll be digging into more of that. But just as a review, that PACER program, free for APTA members, free for APTA potential members. We never want to say non-members. We never want to exclude. But let's see, post-acute COVID-19 rehabilitation and exercise program, PACER. It's just a great resource. Again, these are free for CEUs and made by the leaders in the profession. Switching gears a little bit, I feel like the word COVID just comes into every episode in the last couple of months. I'm sure it'll show up, but in a good way, as we bring on Daniel Chalette to the show. Daniel, welcome to the program, man.
Jimmy, thank you, man. Glad to be here.
We get to change gears with you. You literally are the smell of fresh cut grass. You are a breath of fresh air.
Happy to play that role.
Where are you geographically right now?
So right now I am in Columbus, Ohio. So that's home base for me. And kind of the cool part about my job is I really just have to have access to an airport because we kind of go to and from the tournaments. But obviously right now things are on hold. So it kind of funny, I actually got married in the middle of March, and it was pretty much right after our wedding is basically when everything just kind of shut down. So I've gotten an extra 2 months home with my wife, which has been pretty cool.
That's great. All right. Well, yeah. You dodged a bullet there, my man. Let's get everybody the insight, right? So you've got a really cool, unique job. We'd like to highlight, you know, physical therapists in all of the spectrum and the unique places we can get to. You got a cool, sweet gig, man. You got a great role. Describe what you get to do.
Yeah. So definitely a pretty unique role, and definitely not something I kind of drew it up as or saw myself stepping into. But my role, I work with a group called Physio Fitness Associates, which is actually based out of here, up in Dublin. But we are a group of physical therapists and athletic trainers that are contracted with the PGA Tour, and we more or less sort of run what they call their PGA Tour Player Performance Center, which are basically two mobile trucks. They're basically like 18-wheelers that can fold out into our rehab trailer, which is a bit more rehab-centric. So we have the rehab tables, and we have some strength training type equipment, but it's more of your rehab clinic type of setting. And then we also have a truck that is really, it's a pop-up gym. They've got treadmills, some really cool like foldable weight racks. They've got all kinds of stuff. Because when you think about it, these guys on the tour, I mean, they are playing and working week in and week out, but they've got to be able to keep their fitness up, and they've got to be able to rehab things as they come up. So they've got to have access to it. So that's our role. That's kind of what we do. And we are stationed at the individual tournaments. So there's four PTs on the rehab trailer. And we also work with a group of chiropractors, which is pretty cool. And then on the other truck, the fitness truck, it's headed up by two athletic trainers, but we all kind of work collaboratively because we see a lot of the same guys.
Cool. And that's a cool mix.
Yeah, it is really cool, man. It's a unique model.
So talk to me, let's go logistics, right? So you're traveling from gig to gig, and I know there's 162 baseball games a year, but how many PGA events are there in a season?
Yeah. So pretty much kind of the way it's been explained to me is there used to be an off season, but there really isn't anymore.
Yeah.
It's pretty much, they pretty much go from beginning of January to really up around Thanksgiving time. And then there aren't really official PGA tournaments in December, but there's sort of non-PGA events that guys can go play at. And so there's pretty much golf year round. These guys, if they're not on the PGA tour, they're playing World Golf Classic events, or they're playing other kind of specific invitational events. So it's really year round. I think the number of tournaments that we cover is up probably in the 40s to 50s is what we're doing. So
that's great. So now let's get into more of the nitty gritty. These guys are training on their own, right? They can't just be training when they're with you for, you know, 3-4 day tournaments. You know, what are you typically working on? Is it something, because you guys are seeing these guys every week or every couple of weeks, you're getting a relationship, you know, these guys, how's this kind of work? You'll play it out for us.
Yeah. So kind of how it works for us, I'll kind of back up and kind of give you the general model of how these guys sort of manage their rehab and their fitness performance. A lot of these guys, they have a home base, you know, where home is, and they typically have a physical therapist or a place that they typically work with when they're back home. Some guys will travel with, be it a personal trainer, licensed massage therapist, whatever they see as the most value, and they'll sort of have that core unit with them. What our role is for guys that maybe don't have those resources, we kind of serve that role as far as helping them prepare for the given day, prepare for the tournament. So we do some maintenance things, but a big part of our role is when issues come up. So we're sort of that spot. I don't want to say it's kind of like a hybrid athletic trainer, physical therapist type of role. It's basically a quick direct access. Hey,
right.
You know, all of a sudden I was doing some driving. All of a sudden the right side of my lower back locked up. I don't know what's going on. I got tee off in an hour and a half. Can you take a look and see what you can do? So, and so you have that, and then you have guys that have chronic things that they continually sort of ebb and flow throughout the season that we help them with. And we kind of sort of become almost that surrogate PT for them when they're on the tour. So it can take a lot of forms. It can look a lot kind of like athletic training, sort of acute injury management. It can take the form of sort of like a direct access clinic. Sure. And it can take the form of sort of longer term rehab. Yeah.
It's cool to know. Once I found out what you did, because we actually connected to record an episode of a different podcast we work on, which is NPTE StudyCast, focused on clinical stuff to help students pass the NPTE. But the cool part is now the next time I'm watching a PGA event, and it'll hopefully be soon, coming back, to know that there's two 18-wheelers somewhere near the clubhouse sitting there with physical therapists, with chiropractors, with athletic trainers, strength and conditioning guys.
Yeah.
And if someone, you know, is on the practice green or the driving range, and they're like, oh man, I got to tee off in an hour. What's going on? They come to you. It's not just, hey, let me just go foam roll it by myself. I've got a professional there that can give me some insight. That's great.
Yeah. And the feedback we get from the players is that's hugely valuable to them. You know, at the very least, knowing that resource is there, because one thing I've really gained an appreciation for having been in this role is, you know, I think golf gets a little bit of a bad rap as far as, you know, the physical demand of it. And, you know, you always hear the debate and, you know, sort of the haters or the cynics saying, you know, is it really that much of a sport? It definitely is. These guys, I mean, you're thinking about it, it is the same set of movements over and over and over again that you got to be incredibly precise with, and you're placing high demands on your body. So it's really valuable to them to have that resource, because, I mean, things, when you play that much golf and you do that much of the same thing, things are going to happen.
Yeah. You had a colleague from a different professional sport, a physio from a different professional sport, backing you up the other day on Twitter, that very argument came up, isn't it a game? It's not really a sport. And, you know, props to Matt Tuttle, who's the physio for the Denver Nuggets, came in. It's like, whoa, it is an explosive power rotational sport. You know, if I get out there, I'm in okay shape. I am a horrible golfer, but I enjoy the golf course.
Yeah.
If I play two 18 whole rounds in 3-4 days. I am feeling like I hit by a truck. These guys are doing four 18 rounds. If they
make yeah, and it's kind of, you know, we think of the, you know, the tournament starts on Thursday, goes to Sunday, but really for these guys, it starts Tuesday.
Rounds, yeah.
So they do practice rounds. You know, a lot of them have got to play the pro-ams that are on Wednesday.
Wow.
And the weeks are jam-packed for those guys. It's tons of golf. They've got sponsorship stuff they've got to do. So it's an intense, you know, physically demanding, mentally, emotionally demanding sport for sure.
These guys are competitors. They're not laying up for a pro-am. Like, you know, they're making sure they show up, because a lot of the guys who are trying to make the cut, and I know this a little bit, and maybe the audience hasn't heard this before. I had an uncle who was on the PGA Tour. Blood related, because I didn't get any of the ability, but he said it was, he's like, back, and again, he was doing it back in the late 70s, early 80s. He's like, this is a hustle. Like, you've got to come in and week out. I'm sure it's got even more competitive now.
Yeah.
And your body, you got a guy carrying your bag, right? And he's making sure your clubs are in good shape. Mm-hmm. It's good to know that you're kind of the caddy for these guys' bodies, which is really all they are.
Yeah. And I think one thing that maybe for the audience that's interesting to know, kind of that hustle that you mentioned, kind of the way it works as far as whether these guys get paid or not, you have to make the cut. So just because you're playing doesn't mean.
Explain what a cut is.
So a cut is basically sort of the way a typical tournament works is you've got a field of between 120 to 150 guys, and they all start Thursday. And they all play Thursday to Friday. And there's basically a score that is determined by the tournament personnel, the tour, as to what the cut is. And that can get a little complicated where that sits. But basically, there's a certain level that if your score is better than that, so obviously in golf, lower the score, better you're at. If you have a score that's better than that, you make the cut and you get to play Saturday and Sunday to potentially get some money. If you don't make that cut, it's best of luck next week. Kind of thing. So it's tough because it's not, you know, it's not like other sports where these guys, they have contracts or anything like that. It's a bit like, hey, you got to perform in order to make money for your livelihood. And I think that's where the maintenance of their body and the performance aspect, why that has kind of taken a huge precedent over the last 10, 20 years.
I mean, there's stories of guys who will drive from tournament to tournament because they can't afford to fly. And you're talking about, you know, if a guy can afford to have a massage therapist with him. Mm-hmm. He's got to make that thought and that math and see if that return on investment is worth it, because it very well might be. Because if he doesn't have that and he can't perform, the drive there wasn't worth it. The gas, the food. And sometimes these guys are playing cut to cut.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure, you know, people know the big names, the Tiger Woods, you know, the Brooks, the Dustin Johnsons. And yes, absolutely. But there are guys that are skilled professionals at this and they're working cut to cut.
Yeah.
So that's really cool insight. Daniel Chalette on with us, working with PGA athletes. Talk to us about, if someone is a physical therapist listening or a student physical therapist, how do you describe what a golf swing is? Like, what's important? Like rotational power. What are some things that we might not think about? Or if you're working with a guy like me, a weekend warrior, what are some things that we can do to kind of make our bodies a little bit less prone to injury as playing this sport?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of components of a golf swing and you can really get into the nitty gritty of it. And, you know, I'm learning right along with everybody else. But a big part of the golf swing is being able to dissociate parts of your body. So, because everything, while your body works as a unit in the golf swing, there are individual parts of your body that have to work sort of separate of other ones. And it's almost a little bit like a sequence. The term that's utilized is a kinematic sequence. And based off research that's been done, certain forms of that kinematic sequence, so on the backs or the downswing, the pelvis going before the torso, going before the, you know, et cetera, et cetera, that coordination and that being able to dissociate things is huge. So I would say body coordination and body sense, because as I've been sort of reviewing this, I've been going through some intense coursework and stuff, just trying to learn everything. It's like, man, I don't think I could like do a lot of this type of stuff and being able to coordinate everything. And that's the biggest thing that I've come to appreciate is just the ability to coordinate, dissociate, and then obviously the flexibility. And I think an interesting thing that I heard. I'm going through a course right now, and one of the leaders was saying, you know, physically fit and physically fit for golf can be different. You know, the obvious example that people throw out is John Daly, not really the most physically fit guy, but has been incredibly successful and is incredibly physically fit for golf, can get himself in the positions that he needs to and can generate incredible power and do it over and over again.
Right. So also a great drink created in his honor. Well,
yeah.
I'm here at a bar.
Yeah. There's some interesting stories from some of the guys that have been on the tour for a while, but you know,
so rotate, you're talking about body dissociation, right? Like hips before hands was the thing my dad always used to yell at me. I shanked the ball into the woods a lot as a kid. Mm-hmm. Rotational power, right? Because I'm guessing you want to probably, where are you trying to generate that from? Because I notice when I watch my friends play and myself, sometimes you try to force it, right? With the upper body. Yeah. Really, it should probably come lower.
Yeah, that's kind of the big, where a lot of kind of the research and a lot of the gurus sort of point to is the glute pelvic complex. That's where you generate your power. The power comes from the lower body, and the upper body is important. But when you lead with the upper body, there are a lot of, they call them swing characteristics or swing faults that can happen. When you lead with the upper body, there's a lot of things that can happen. The golf club can get out of place. Your point of impact can get thrown off. So it's key, and sort of another term or phrase that's used is the glute is king. You know, the glute, that's if particularly your lead glute isn't as strong as you want it to be, or you're not able to incorporate into the sequence you need to, it's kind of where everything starts and where everything finishes. So it's definitely, you know, when we look at somebody swing a golf club, we're usually seeing the club and we're, you know, looking at the arms and everything like that, but a lot of it generates from the lower body.
We hear that a lot of the times we talk to people who work with throwing athletes, you know, particularly baseball players. Everybody watches the hands, but you can't really generate a lot of power, which is from a previous episode, unless you've got a really stable base, a stable platform to generate that power with. And I think golf is that thing where people mess with their grips. We love to spend money on better clubs because how fancy this works. And a lot of times it's that thing you're not looking at, which is behind you and below you, those the glute is king. Common injuries, are there any? I mean, with these guys, because there's so many different guys, there's so much different fitness and fit for golf. Are there commonalities?
Yeah, I would say probably the most common we see is lower back pain. I think that goes back to the power being generated or needing to be generated from that lumbopelvic complex. And when that's not at 100%, when you're maybe not as strong or not as explosive or not as coordinated as maybe you want to be, you'll be able to swing a golf club and you might be able to do it decently well. But after a while, kind of like with anything in life, when we compensate areas that are taking load that maybe aren't quite designed to do that, after a while, you know, a lot of that stress can be put to the lower back. There are some different movements that occur if your glute and your pelvis aren't really working the way you want it to, and it more or less falls in the lower back to take care of that.
Yeah.
That's a common one. Another common one is kind of the elbow wrist area. There's a lot of concentric and eccentric force going through there when you're thinking about properly positioning the club as you're coming to impact, and just the sheer repetition of what these guys got to do with the golf club. And then another common one that I've seen a decent amount that's a little bit surprising is cervical spine. When you think about it, you know, when you're thinking golf, you think you're just kind of down in position, your torso and your lower body are rotating. But when you think about it, in a quote unquote good golf swing, while maybe the cervical spine isn't actively rotating, the torso has to rotate under the cervical spine, and you're getting about 70 degrees of cervical rotation each way if you're really following through with it. So that's something that has been relatively common that I've seen that guys run into. I think it's a combination of that high demand and then all the travel these guys do.
Sure.
They play a whole week and then they sit on airplanes for, you know, 10, 12 hours and then get back and do it again.
They in somewhere. And, so going back to the cervical spine, it's really kind of the opposite, right? Because, well, I don't do it, but you're supposed to keep your eye on the ball.
Yeah.
Really, it's the body rotating underneath the cervical spine. The cervical spine is supposed to stay still until you hit that little white ball, which I miss a lot. But, and I'm imagining what people who've never picked up a golf club wouldn't know is it is a it's an explosive force. It's always in one direction, right? We don't have guys out there hitting lefty and righty. You hit one way all day. So that in and of itself has got to be pretty demanding.
Yeah. And it's, you know, when we think about, you know, kind of my background has been in outpatient orthopedics and manual therapy and things like that, and kind of overuse chronic pain type of stuff. And when we are working with folks with those type of issues, we encourage them, hey, you know, vary up your activity, maybe do something different. You know, maybe do this activity this way or take a break. That's not an option for these guys. So it definitely sort of, you have to think about how you're going to approach it a little bit differently. It's like, hey, just by the principle of doing the same thing over and over again at a high level, that's already sort of a risk factor for, you know, things not going so well. And in a normal world, I would tell you not to do this over and over again, but that's where you can kind of get more into the, okay, let's look a little bit more specifically at your strength. Let's look a little bit more specifically at your ability to dissociate, because they got to be able to do it one way or the other. So it's kind of your job as the PT or the rehab specialist to see, okay, what can we do with what we've got to work with? These are the confines we got to work within. What can we do to try to maximize this guy's ability or this lady's ability to be able to do what they need to with a minimal risk for injury?
Like what you hear? Tell a friend or leave a review on iTunes or Google Play.
New Step created the first product of its kind 25 years ago. That was the New Step Recumbent Cross Trainer. Now it's a mainstay in rehab with physical therapists worldwide. New Step now continues its tradition of innovation with the New Step Transit, another innovation in recumbent cross trainers for physical therapists, delivering real-time biofeedback with this piece of equipment, letting you use it in meaningful ways for awareness of physical performance, goals, identifying and correcting deficits or imbalances. Take a test drive or find out more at newstep.com. That's NUstep.com. Online at newstep.com.
Keep up with the show online, ptpinecast.com, and on the socials at ptpinecast.
Pretty cool contest alert we'll give you. The Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy giving away an opportunity for you to win access to their Current Concepts course right now. This is a leader in orthopedic physical therapy education. A lot of people use this as the gold standard to getting a leg up on getting your OCS exam. Use it as a great prep for the OCS exam. It's created by the leaders in orthopedic physical therapy, the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy from the APTA. And right now, if you check out orthopt.org, that's orthopt.org, or you can try ptpinecast.com. We have a link for you to enter to win access to Current Concepts of Orthopedic Physical Therapy. I would go there now because this contest is not going to run on for long. Check it out. Right now, somebody's going to get a shot to get that course. A lot of material. The reading list alone is like 16 pages. It's just huge. So check it out now, orthopt.org, and enter now for that contest from the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy.
Back to the PT Pinecast with Jimmy McKay.
Daniel Chalette on with us. You alluded to your background. I'm sure people are out there screaming and wondering, how'd you wind up getting to work with professional golfers? We started the show off. You started saying, "But this isn't where I thought I would wind up. How I got here." So, how did you get here?
Yeah, it was kind of a story of the right place at the right time. So, a little bit my background: I went through the orthopedic residency at The Ohio State University. Finished that up in 2016, and then went straight into the orthopedic manual physical therapy fellowship at Ohio State as well. And then finished that up and then ended up, went to work in a private practice for a couple of years. And really kind of where my specialty wheelhouse was complex orthopedic patients, sort of with a slant towards spinal pain and chronic pain, and really just kind of those difficult cases and kind of the complex patient. And really the supervisor I worked for at the time had known the guy that kind of heads up the player performance center, sort of, he's the chief medical advisor for the tour, I believe is his role. And there was an opening and they were looking for someone that kind of had that background of complex patient management and hands-on skills. And I was just kind of the right place, the right time. My supervisor was like, hey, one of my buddies, he has this gig with the PGA Tour. He's looking for somebody. I was like, never going to say no. You know, I'll check it out. It's definitely a bit of a curveball or a right turn from what I was looking at, but got into the nitty gritty of what it would look like and was able to interview and was fortunate enough to get the offer and the opportunity and have an understanding wife, which is good with the travel and everything. So yeah, that's kind of how it worked.
That's great.
Wherever you go, whatever you do, there will always be Buckeyes and there will always be Coca-Cola.
I had to throw that one in there for you, the OHI.
I know.
Do a live show with those guys not long ago. That's a cool story. What advice would you give if a student out there is listening and they're like, yeah, or new professional or a seasoned PT? What advice would you give them in terms of you know, developing their career to whatever they think is their cool thing?
Yeah. I think a big thing for me, a couple big things. Firstly is, as you're getting in, you know, it can be as you're a student, it can be the first couple of years of practice, it can be long down the line. But at some point, I think it's important to sort of look at, okay, what am I passionate about, enthusiastic about in life and in work? And kind of what would that look like if I could package it up kind of in an ideal way? And what are some key things that I'm passionate about in my work, and how can I bring that into my current workplace? Wow. And then how can I maybe seek out opportunities that better fit that picture for me? And I think that's a big one, just having a better understanding of that, because it's easy. And I'm sure you're in this boat too, just with your gig with the Pinecast and how successful it's been. There are opportunities to get involved in all kinds of different stuff, and it can seem really cool. But you've got to kind of keep yourself a little bit in line. Think, okay, like what am I really moving towards? What am I all about, and what fits the bill? And then a second thing, I think is, and I don't want it to sound cliche, it might be a little bit, but having strong kind of guiding mentoring influences. So having good relationships with those that lead you, I think that is important, because not only will you be able to learn from them just a baseline about leadership and things along those lines, it's those people that maybe have relationships and connections down the line that if your relationship with them is good and they see you as someone who could fit a potential role, or that they look at it as having a good relationship with, your name could be brought up in conversations on down the line, or they could present certain opportunities to you because they have a vested interest. Yeah. And you as a person. Those are two big things, I'd say.
Those things are so great. And I the entire time I was just listening to those two pieces of advice, I was like, yes, because I was guilty of that first one.
Yeah.
I had a mentor who made sure I stayed on focus because I had so many different opportunities. And as a therapist, you do. I spent maybe the last year of PT school and the first year after graduating running around doing a lot of things, not that well. Yep. And she said something to me one time in an informal, right? Mentoring doesn't necessarily need to be formal. It could be informal.
Yep.
And I brought up an opportunity. I was like, hey, how cool is this idea? I'm thinking about doing this. And she said, will this help you achieve your ultimate goal? And I realized I hadn't really identified an ultimate goal yet.
which
meant that needs to be first. And then I thought about it. And that thing we were talking about was good, but it was not going to help me achieve my ultimate goal. So I had to say no to that, or I got to say no to that. And number two, love the fact that mentorship gets brought up again. I think that word gets thrown a lot, but you highlighted it's not really just who knows, because I always say it's who you know, right? Mm. It's who knows what about you, right?
Yeah.
The reason that your supervisor said, hey, Daniel, there's this guy over here who's got an opportunity, wasn't because he knew you. It's because it was because of what he knew about you. It's a great set of advice. I like that.
Yeah.
Are you ready for three questions? It's something we do on the show.
Let's do it, man.
On the hot seat with three questions on the PT Pinecast.
All right, three questions on the show, brought to you by Aureus Medical Staffing, AURUSmedical.com, the leaders in hashtag travel PD. Been doing it for a couple of decades now, so they've got some experience. And some people were saying, wow, travel PT now, but like lockdown, but physical therapists are essential. And in some areas, the need is so great right now that they really need your opportunity. So Aureus has opportunities in all different settings, right? A lot of times people just think it's outpatient ortho, a lot of different settings, really niche stuff in all 50 states plus Washington, D.C. So there's never any obligation. I like to let people know that this is not like signing up for the Army and you have to go. This is not it. See what they have to offer. See what you can do, especially now as we record in May, you know, people graduating, looking for opportunities where in their area there might not be one. So check them out online, AURUSmedical.com. First question on three questions will be a where question. Yeah. I'm going to make this specific to you, very specific to you, because you travel with the PGA Tour. Man, where's somewhere under the radar someone needs to travel to in the 50 United States to play golf that maybe is kind of, you know, under that radar where we might not know about it? Where's somewhere great that you get to travel to?
Oh, I'm not sure exactly how under the radar it is, but a place that I had never been, you know, I grew up kind of in the Southeast and I've always kind of been on the East Coast side of things, but I was able to cover a tournament in Palm Springs, California. And it's just like an oasis. It's, you know, it's kind of picturesque backgrounds. You've got kind of the desert around, you've got the mountains around, palm trees, Sun's always out, and just a really beautiful, there's kind of where we were at. There were three courses we were at, and it was gorgeous. So I think that would be a place that I would love to go out and play for sure.
You get to play with these guys? Like, is there a downtime? Are these guys so busy? Or do you get to play it all on your own? Or what's the deal?
Yeah. So we don't get to play really when we're working. Kind of a typical schedule is we get there Monday, we help set up the trucks. So basically the trucks are kind of folded up, everything's secure and everything. We get there, we set it all up. Then Tuesday, it's typically we're starting about 7 and we go to about 6 or 7 and guys come
around time, right?
Yeah. And then Wednesday, we'll start a little bit earlier with the pro-am and kind of go till about 6 or 7 or so. And then the tournament days, we start about an hour and a half, 2 hours before each tee time. So pretty early mornings. And then we'll go until probably about 7 o'clock. So there's not a ton of downtime. When we're on the tournaments, we kind of get sort of that Sunday to Monday time is our downtime. But I know there are a couple guys that I work with that are big time golfers, and they really like to try to find places.
Sneak it in.
Yeah. So I think that there is time for it, but yeah, it's relatively amazing.
If that were me, I would just go out and play all the par threes and call it a day.
I don't know. I haven't tried that. Maybe can use my badge next time. So I don't know if I've got that clearance, but we'll see.
Second question on three questions is a what question. Is there anything you've read, watched, or downloaded, you know, as kind of podcast, video, or book that that really inspired you that you think the audience could benefit from?
Man, I think, you know, maybe go a little bit outside the box here, but a book that I read, I guess it was probably a couple years ago. It's called Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl, not related to golf at all, but it's a book, and it's basically sort of a bit of a autobiographical kind of psychological, sociological book. Viktor Frankl was a physician that was a part of the Holocaust, and was, I think he was from Poland. And it's basically his reflections and his own introspection on the ability to find meaning throughout life and kind of why that's important, and how that can help you through challenging situations, difficult situations. And he kind of reflects upon the things he sees in the concentration camps and sort of keeps coming back to this idea of man's search for meaning. So it's a really easy read. It's about, I think, about 90 pages. And it's just a really cool, it's definitely non-PT related, non-golf related for sure. But it's definitely kind of going back to what we were talking about, you know, finding your why and kind of keeping you on track. Obviously, the situation that book was written in was just a bit more dire than what we typically engage in on a daily basis, but it really helps you keep, as long as you have that search and you're trying to find your why and your meaning, that you can keep moving forward.
Yeah. Great perspective. I love things like that. Last thing on three questions. Number three is a who question.
Yeah.
Who's someone that the audience maybe should know more about? You know, who's someone that, you know, is doing great work that you think the audience should check out?
Yeah. And he's actually been a guest on your show, I believe, Mr. Jack Chu over across the pond. And your listeners may know a decent amount about him, but just all the stuff that him and his group have been able to do, you know, while running a clinical practice and doing all these conferences and the cool angles that his podcast has taken. You know, it definitely, you can tell they definitely try to push into the kind of the difficult, weird questions, and it can get a little bit in the weeds, but that's good. And I think, I always think as I'm listening to that podcast, like, man, this guy must not sleep that much. Yeah. Just with everything going on. But yeah, that's something that's, there's a lot of cool content out from him and his group, the Physio Matters podcast. I don't know if I'm allowed to pitch another podcast on your podcast, but
100%. No, here's what I want to do. I want to make sure people, because I'm glad you said him and his team, he's got a bunch of people that work with him and that's why they're able to create such high quality stuff and do online conferences and get really deep dives into stuff, is that he's got a lot of people who really, really care about getting things right. And, you know, trying to share the best evidence. So the Physio Matters podcast, and they just sound a little smarter than everybody because the accents, man. It's not,
You're right. You're right. They've got the, And as I've been listening to it, I've even found, like, I was talking to my wife the other day and I said something like, you just got to crack on.
You pick up.
Like, man,
You listen to Adam Eakins too much and you start saying bollocks a lot. All right. You're off the hot seat. That's three questions from Aureus Medical Staffing. AureusMedical.com is where you can find them. Again, positions all over this country in dire need. So see what's available, especially if you're graduating. Treat it as an extra clinical that you get paid for now, right? Use it as one of those in this situation. And again, AureusMedical.com. Head there. Last thing we do on the show, Daniel, is the parting shot.
This is the parting shot.
All right. A lot of good knowledge, a lot of good perspective on not just the PGA stuff. That's cool to look into, but your career. Parting shot. Any words of wisdom you'd leave the audience with as we wrap up?
Yeah. I mean, I think a big thing that I have found that's extremely valuable and important, not only personally or not only professionally, but personally, and I think can help keep us grounded and keep us moving forward in our careers is taking time to reflect a little bit. And that can be however you do it. It can be, I'm a journal person. I write things down. You know, there are some people that it just, they sit in silence and they do it, go for walks, get outside, get in nature, just take some time to reflect or unplug a little bit. It's easy in our world today, particularly when maybe you're on the newer side of the profession and kind of like you were talking about earlier, Jimmy, you just want to do everything and do everything. There's definitely long-term benefits and value to making reflection, or at least unplugging a little bit, a regular part of your life, because this is a marathon, not a sprint, and you need to be able to do that and to just take time to think and breathe, and that can really help you keep moving forward in the long term. That would be my biggest piece of advice.
Good parting shot. I hated reflection in PC school, but now I find myself doing it more than ever. Find it effective. I don't write it down, but I will, or I will write it down, but then I just kind of, I read it or I put on a sticky note and I think about that. But I avoided reflection in PT school like the plague. Yeah. And now that I'm done, now I do it more than ever. And I think it helps a lot. So I like
it. You want that in PT school. It's the same way. It's like
too busy, man.
We had a class where I think it was a 2-minute mindfulness or a mindfulness moment where our professor would just make us sit in silence for 2 minutes in class, and you could tell everybody was just roasting, just like, come on, I either want to look at my computer, I want to write something down, I got to plan some stuff, like let's talk about some stuff. But now when you get out of it, you realize, like, hey, that is actually important.
Last thing I wrote in my notes, last thing I'm gonna add, when are we gonna see golf? When's golf coming? You're gonna know first, man. You're the inside.
Man, yeah, that, you know, it is funny. Things are changing on a daily basis. It was kind of funny. We were on a conference call at 11 and our supervisor, it was on Saturday at 11. And our supervisor was like, well, as of about 45 minutes ago, one major thing we thought was going to be one way is now completely different. It just kind of shifts around. Yeah. I think they're aiming to get back going in mid-June. Everything's kind of up to, you know, how things move forward. And, you know, obviously the first few tournaments are going to be a work in progress, and we're definitely taking all the steps to make it as safe as possible for everybody involved. But so hopefully sooner than later, but just like as you're well aware of being in New York, things change on a daily basis and you never really know.
Yeah. All right. Well, looking forward to it. Definitely just, I just love the golf announcers, nice and calm and serene. You can take a nice Sunday afternoon nap with them around, but
weather's usually pretty nice. It's very relaxing for sure.
We'll definitely have you back on the show. Get kicked off from on the tour, but appreciate the insight into the game and your role and golf athletes. And thanks so much, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anytime, man.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
If you're looking for education past your physical therapy degree, look no further than Brooks IHL. That's Brooks Rehabilitation Institute of Higher Learning. You can find out more at brooksihl.org. Continuing education along with residencies and fellowships. Residencies in orthopedics, geriatrics, women's health, neurologic PT, pediatrics, sports, and a fellowship opportunity as well. So look into it if you're looking to expand your knowledge base. brooksihl.org. Our home on the internet.
ptpinecast.com.
Created by BuildPT. BuildPT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what BuildPT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.